live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island. It's Cofield and Company.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying.
Yeah, here we go. Friday. Fun. Keep going with your clubby meow, meow, meow. I like this. I like it a lot. Griffin, TJ Griffin on a Friday. Willie's here. Go ahead, Willie. You know you're dying to give your critique. You're a DJ.
Nothing. Griffin basically DJ. Griffin basically took our Friday night theme to EDC. That's all. Nothing wrong with that.
It's a good weekend in EDC with Rebecca Black.
Nice. Griffin, are you drinking a lot of water? We don't want you to go down, you know.
Constantly. Always hydrated.
Okay. Well, Lotus officials will be outside the studio at 6:02 with the drug test.
Rolling.
Yeah. Can't wait.
Rolling.
As you're rolling out of the studio. Hint.
Yes. Very subtle by both of us. We're here on Fridays, 3 to 6. Great spot to come out and watch tonight, NFL. Look at that. Oh, man. Oh, Giants fans. Oh, God. Pre-game. Who was that? Oh, Saquon Barkley. It's tough, isn't it? God almighty. Did they botch that thing? And then Joe Shane, the GM, threw gas all over the fire. Whoever approved that nonsense on Hard Knocks, that was embarrassing. But, yeah, Saquon on the Eagles. Our guy Josh Jacobs on the other side. I am not rooting for Saquon. I am rooting for Josh Jacobs. I'm not rooting for the Packers. I'm not rooting for anyone. But I'd like to see Josh do well.
That's kind of your style. You're a player guy. You do root for players. Maybe it's the fantasy thing. Maybe it's just the loyalty that some have shown to their programs.
I love AJ Brown. Hmm. Not until this year, because you just mentioned it. Maybe a fantasy guy for me.
Okay,
love him.
Okay,
love him. So we're here Saturdays too. Danny, Jared, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Throw the flag. College football game day. Pro football preview. It's a 2-hour show. You got the fantastic breakfast here as well at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Get those chicken chilaquiles, a little breakfast sandwich. I'm seeing some waffles there. I had some great waffles. The SO is very generous. She brought some waffles. I don't know where she got them from, but they were good.
I mean,
the smell.
The breakfast here, James and I have taken down
a lot, yeah.
Some breakfast at this place a couple of years ago on Saturdays. The breakfasts they've got in this place. You know what? I have not had a bad dish at this place.
I think you ate a 2-pound salad in 13 minutes. The Kobayashi of Cofield and Company.
I don't know about all that, but
the chestnut of Cofield and Company.
I needed a roughage.
The Badlands Booker of Cofield and Company. That's an insult. He's 6'6", 500. But he can do the lemonade, as we saw, the 2 gallons of lemonade, like that.
Or my girl, Raina.
Raina Wong, yeah. You know what? I got to say, to go off the beaten path here, anytime you bring up competitive eating, the show goes off the rails. Raina did compete in a hot dog eating contest. Downtown, the Circa had one. And I think she did 14 hot dogs in 10 minutes. A little shaky. Miley Schuyler just did 47 in 10 minutes. I don't know. It was like some local drive-in restaurant in Ohio. And obviously, Mickey Sudo did 50-plus.
What's my favorite, the husband and wife bodybuilding?
Mickey Sudo.
Mickey Sudo, yeah.
And Nick Weary.
Yeah.
And I forget where they were last week. I'll have to look it up.
And you just had them on recently, yeah?
We had them on before... Before the contest, and then we hot dog the 4th of July. But by the way, there's now multiple contests.
Yeah.
Because what they did on Labor Day on Netflix was unbelievable.
Yeah. I didn't watch it, but yes.
Adam Hill hated it.
Of course.
Because he just raked it over the coals. It was a beautiful exhibit of legends of a sport getting one more chance to go head-to-head before one of them walks off into the sunset. And the drive on both of their parts, Willie. Now, conditions were better. And I did not handicap that in that, you know, 4th of July, you're out there on the streets of New York. It's humid.
Weather
it's
report.
Hot. It was nice, indoor, controlled, AC environment, down at the Luxor and the HyperX theater. Not the theater. I wouldn't even call it a studio. I guess that day it was a studio. But anyway. But they did 83 and 67.
He's looking at his point.
Oh, they, dude. I didn't even see that. How do you? Oh,
I was
God.
Actually there,
if
man.
If I knew that, I would have had you buy me like 20 of. You got a bucket hat.
Yes, sir. I was actually there. It was actually a really great experience.
Oh, my, God.
Oh my goodness. Like, they had a wing eating contest against like some of the Olympians and everything like that. And then they also had like a watermelon thing. It was absolutely amazing.
Without a time, without a time stamp, what's the most wings you've ever taken down in a sitting, just in one seating? I already know mine off the top.
12. But then just seeing what they did, I think they did like 40 or something like that, like 50.
But that's in a certain time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, no. I've done Willie, in one sitting, I've done 48.
Willie's going for volume eating, not speed eating.
Yeah, I've done 48.
The wing contest was three Olympic swimmers against Matt Stoney, who's one of the guys who actually beat Chestnut in the hot dog contest, has moved on from MLE. By the way, you see a theme here? Chestnut moved on. Stoney's out. They can't get Miley Schuyler in. Obviously, Kobayashi's been gone from MLE for a long time.
You can see what's happening, don't you?
Pay up.
Are you ready?
Time to pay up. This is Jamar Chase four times over. Pay up.
Vince McMahon or The Rock will be picking that up, just like they did with the XFL. They'll start a...
Well, I'm hoping, and at this point, it, you know, I battled against it for a while. I don't think we can stop the Saudis from sports watching. So just take over competitive eating, and let's pay these people some money. And well, let's bring the best against the best.
I think who I mentioned, XFE, Extreme Food Eating.
I like owners who just think it's fun and they have money to burn.
You don't think that Vince McMahon has money to burn?
How much longer is he going to be here? Come on.
Okay.
You're right. He has free time, I think. I don't think he's running wrestling anymore. But, yeah, Stoney in that competition it was 3 minutes to eat as many wings as you could. He did it was actually very labor intensive. He was doing the rip it off the bone and eating just the meat. And he did 53 wings in 3 minutes. The three swimmers combined actually were pretty respectable. They did 37 combined.
That's what I was going to ask you. So it was him against them three combined.
Yep.
And he beat them by 16.
But arguably the best wing eater in the world wasn't there. James Webb from MLE was at a different competition eating wings. I think he did 253 in 10 minutes. Hear what I said?
How clean? Yes.
253 in 10 minutes. And Miley Schuyler, I think, is the number one wing eater in the world. And she is independent. She should have been there. They should have had Stoney, this woman, against. And I'm not saying Stoney and the woman together, separate.
How clean does the bone have to be?
I don't know because they. In the hot dog contest. By the way, Willie's picks around the NFL coming up in just a couple minutes.
Completely gone off the rails. As he said, when we talk food, it goes off the rails.
Yes.
It's gone off the rails.
I call it audible, and the whole show disappears. Griffin, let's have our NFL loop ready to go, right, like we did yesterday. Just giving you a heads up on that. I was going where on this one? Oh.
Bone.
I don't know, but I will almost guarantee they examine the bones because – when you watch the hot dog contest, this is something I really admired. You remember the end of the 4th of July contest this year, there was controversy. They simply count by plates. And Mickey Sudo told us, this is funny that this happened, Mickey Sudo told us before the event that there are eaters who are just very sloppy eaters, mm-hmm. and they don't eat the whole dog. There's bun everywhere. At this Netflix event, Willie, they had them pick up their shoes and brushed underneath it to see if there was any debris.
Oh.
Because I guess.
Your
maybe,
point's taken off?
Well, here's what they did. If there was any debris on the table, too, they picked it up and they weighed it. And if it equaled the weight
amount
of one hot dog.
Yes. Yeah. I like it.
They weighed what Kobe had because Kobe had some leftover stuff. It did not amount to a hot dog. But from a gambling standpoint, right? Because at the 4th of July, people think they miscounted Nick Weary's plates.
Yeah.
Or that the one person had an allegation that he grabbed someone else's plate to get five extra dogs. Because he went from 48.5 to 53.5. Like, they go to break, and all of a sudden you're like, wait, they were off by five hot dogs? I know, folks, it's very serious stuff. I know people in the audience are like, thank God Cofield's doing this.
I agree with that philosophy. I like that. You wait, like, if it was the wing and there's debris around the plates on the floor, you have to scoop it up, get someone with gloves, come scoop it up, weigh it, and if they determine that once you strip the meat off the bone and it's 2.4 ounces, which is a lot of macros, then, you know, whatever it comes to, then you get that taken off. That's how it's got to be.
Yep. And now there's integrity in gambling on hot dog eating.
Absolutely.
There always needed to be.
Yeah. We got to go do the replay. You can throw a red flag. Oh, he's got meat down there.
College football, NFL, MLB later on, competitive eating, WNBA. The best franchise in this town from a major league standpoint are the Vegas Golden Knights. And they're not getting any time in a Football Friday. Do we need to change that? Has the market forgotten our Vegas Golden Knights? I mean, they're back soon.
They are back soon. Training camp opens next week. There's a three-day event here in Las Vegas. It is the North American Players Tour. I will be there for two of the 3 days, and we're talking big names coming to town, including Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl. On the final day, they're the last two. That's why I remembered it stood out. But there's a slew of names that are going to be there for that event. And they're basically there to answer questions. It's typically like a media day, and it allows you to ask questions. The NHL is here. The draft was just here at the Sphere, it seems like. Now the tours are going on and camp's opening up. And it just seems like in years past, especially last year since they at the time were the defending Stanley Cup champs, but even before that, the hype of the Golden Knights, because the year before that it was Bruce Cassidy's first year and the first year that they didn't make the playoffs. And we can keep going think about it. This is the first year since the Golden Knights have arrived that there really hasn't been that much preseason hype. We're not talking about them as much as we have since 2017. Am I wrong?
No.
Has the allure worn off?
Wow. I think you're a little early on this.
I'm asking a question.
I think you're early on this.
The allure of off-season now. When they start playing the Golden Knights faithful, the 18-5, the...
Well, yes. The allure of the Vegas Golden Knights off-season, yes, it's changed.
Okay.
Yes, they're a regular member of our sports community.
They're just a part of the fabric.
And I would say, I'll fire back at you.
Okay.
How many markets in the NHL have a lot of allure, the word you're using, during the offseason? Is it more than 10?
I can answer that, but I would imagine that...
All the Canadians.
The original six, yes. The original six.
Sorry to cut you off. Are we gauging this by sports radio? I will guarantee you that the Devils, the Rangers, and the Islanders, and you made original six reference, but... In the New Jersey, New York market,
yeah.
Probably combined get less than, on all the shows, freaking 15 minutes for 3 months.
So you're gauging it on the allure of the
I might be sports, off on that, but
the allure of sports radio hosts.
How much sports radio talk is there about?
Because I'm talking fans.
Okay.
I did say how much have we talked about it, but in general, we're not really seeing it a lot as much, not off-season talk. Whether it's fans, whether it's, posts, whatever.
There's a lot of stuff going on now.
And
honestly, the WNBA, I'm going to say this.
Okay.
Congrats. They're drawing really well. They're popular. It's still very much a niche. They took over the summer from a lot of sports because of the storyline with Caitlin Clark and Reese and the Aces, the two-time defending champion. They haven't passed the Vegas Golden Knights, but that did fill what could be a gap over the summer.
Last year, the phenomenon, Connor Bedard in Chicago. This year, second pick overall after Macklin Celebrini was Artem Levchinov.
Right.
But the big talk in Chicago is Ainsley Reese. By now, even though the Blackhawks have fallen off, that the Bears, the Blackhawks, that's a big metro city. But, they're talking about Ainsley Reese as much as they're talking about Caleb Williams in Chicago.
Wait a second.
Yes.
I doubt that.
Okay. I drove through that town. Ainsley Reese billboards.
We're getting crazy.
Okay.
We're getting crazy.
All right. Now, after Sunday.
Compared to the past, she's getting attention. She's not getting Caleb Williams and Bears attention in Chicago.
3 weeks ago when I drove through there, I saw just as much signage and on WNBA in the sky and Ainsley Reese as I did Bears and Caleb Williams.
I'm just giving this NFL music. Come on.
Let's go.
Get me out of this. This is crazy. Come on.
He flopped. He flopped. That's why they referee.
I just want the soothing music of NFL films. Where is John Facenda? To calm you down. It's a no conflict Friday. You're getting crazy.
Bring your manners.
I'm going to get you a shot. Knock off the edge. All right, it's time. This is where all the pressure comes. 2024 Cofield & Company predictions. John Von Tobel and I made ours yesterday. We'll have other company members make them as well. Willie, you do have a game advantage on John and I. The other folks on the show will have a two-game advantage. They'll have seen everything they need to know about the NFL with the Packers and the Eagles and the Chiefs and the Ravens. But we'll deal with it. Let's start off with the AFC East. Where are we going here?
Champs? Bills.
The division champs. We're doing division champs,
yeah,
and wild card teams. I took the Dolphins. JVT took the Dolphins. You're going stock with the Bills. Why?
I think that they've fallen into a groove of being the. I think that there's pride at stake, and I think that they have the experience there. I think Josh Allen still plays with a chip on his shoulder. I know that the Dolphins want to, you know, unseat them and be the dominant team in that division, but I think, you know, for so many years now, and I say so many, the last several, we've talked about how this is the year that the Bills supplant the Chiefs. If that's the case and that's the narrative, then someone's got to supplant them from the East, right? So if they're one of the biggest threats to the Chiefs, then I have them winning the division.
AFC North.
Baltimore Ravens.
Wow. So we're all over the place. I have the Browns. JBT has the Bengals.
Yeah, I'm not sold on the Browns. The Bengals, I'll be talking about momentarily when you ask me another question, but I'm a Lamar guy. I mean, I'm going until that dude retires, I'm always going to side with, because I'm a fan of Lamar Jackson.
And we are picking the regular season, so he is a great regular season quarterback.
Right.
And I don't know if it made a difference last night, but he ran for 122 yards. Right. What I'm talking about is making a difference. He lost weight in the offseason, which I was like, he needs to lose weight? Whatever it was, it worked last night.
Well, let's remember, when you see that, there's a difference between when you lose weight and you maintain lean muscle, right? So you could be losing body fat and carving up and gaining muscle. So if you weigh, let's just say for argument's sake, 200 pounds, and you come into the season 190, you realistically could have dropped body fat to around 185 and then put on 5 pounds of muscle.
Mm.
So this dude could have put on lean muscle mass to be more agile, absorb more physicality, and just because he lost weight doesn't mean he didn't put on lean fat or lean muscle.
I wonder if you have the Bengals in the playoffs at all. We're going to wait because we probably should address what's going on with Jamar Chase. AFC South, your pick?
Texans, 100%.
Okay.
And that's for two reasons. One, because I do think that they're probably up and down the most talented. And two, I'm a fan of Brevin Jordan. I want to see him do well with C.J. Stroud. And so, yeah, I'm pulling for the Texans because there's a local kid there who's proved himself. I like the play of C.J. Stroud, and I think it's the right time. I think that this is their year to sort of just leapfrog everybody.
They're all the way back to Bill O'Brien days, but better. They don't have a coach busting their chops all the time. They actually like their coach. I took the Jaguars. John took the Colts. Last division in the AFC before the wild cards. Well, you already said it, right? AFC West. Chiefs from myself and John.
Chiefs.
Okay. Wild cards. Wild card one.
Dolphins. I didn't put them in order. I just got three.
Okay.
Okay.
Give me all three.
Dolphins, Bengals, Jets.
Okay. I had Chargers, Bengals, Jets. Vontobel had Jets, Texans, Browns. No Steelers.
None of us. And I'm a Tomlin guy.
And John and I both left the Ravens out.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
That was bold.
Yeah.
I liked what I saw last night, except that Lamar Jackson, when he needs to make an accurate throw at the end, can't do it.
What we have to go back and see if they're out of yours everything and mine everything, we need to see singular differences where there's just one off and create bets. So we'll have to review that for the next time we're on next week or a couple weeks.
NFC East, give me your division winner.
Cowboys.
Really?
Dak Prescott, whether he stays or not, has to prove that he can lead an offense for whomever he wants a contract from. And CeeDee Lamb just got his contract, so he definitely could. So, I mean, right
there. There's max motivation.
Yeah, there's max motivation.
Yep. This was – I was asking the question earlier. We never got to it. But which division winner has the biggest gap from the winner down to the second team? What's going to be the most lopsided division? Are you going Chiefs with the rest of the AFC West? I say it's Philly over the Cowboys, Giants, and Redskins. I think the Phillies will clear Cowboys, Giants, and Redskins by at least, I'll say, 2.5 games.
No, the Chiefs will be the biggest gap, 100%.
Chiefs win how many? 13?
Yeah, at least.
No one else wins 9?
Minimum 13.
Minimum 13, okay.
Minimum 13, which means, based off your estimation, that the next best team in the league will get, or division will get 10. Because you just said.
Well, I said in the NFC East it would be a 2.5 win gap, so you think it's going to be bigger than that?
No, well, you just said which team will have the biggest gap, and you picked the Eagles at 2.5. I'm saying the Eagles. So if there's a bigger one, for me, it's the Chiefs, because I said, no way, it's the Chiefs. Bigger than that is at least 3. Chiefs could go 13-4, 14-3. Everyone else in the division, no one's winning more than 10. That's what I'm saying.
NFC North.
Lions.
That's it?
I think you
trust a big galoot, especially with his, as some people will say, gambles?
Yes.
It's called football common sense and playing the numbers.
Well, I mean, that's just, you know, that's aggressive football, and that's the way you win games. You have to. I mean, it's Harbaugh holding up the two fingers. I mean, it's just that's – I think the Lions and Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think, you know, he's a standout guy, all-pro wide receiver, and I think that team, again, another team with a chip on its shoulder with something to prove, talent on both sides of the ball. Packers with a big catch, flag on the play, but they dive in the end zone. I think the Lions are the class of the NFC North. My wild card will probably shock some people.
NFC South.
Buccaneers.
I went with the Bucs as well. Bucs and Falcons. JBT had Falcons, I had Bucs.
Yeah, I'm just not – I think that arguably could be the worst division in football if it's not the AFC South. I just don't know how far off the other teams are going to fall behind the Texans, but I don't think that there's much in the NFC North to, as far as competition toward the other divisions, and I think the Buccaneers are the best chance to win the division.
Looks like touchdown nullified, penalties on both squads, what, ineligible man downfield and something else. NFC West.
49ers.
John and I went Rams, you're going Niners.
Yeah. I am picking the Niners.
All is good. Big Trent's back. Brandon Ayuk is about as happy as he can be. I don't think he's ever happy, based on the way he acted the last month or so playing games.
Well, I'll ask DeSean Jackson whether he's happy or not. We'll get the real scoop, right? No, I'm being smartass. Defending NFC champion, if it ain't broke, don't fix it type of mentality that, hey, you're going to have to knock them off the pedestal. They're the champs of the conference. They're the best team coming in. And again, as I said with the North, I have my wild card pick, which we will now get into.
All right, wild card teams. I went Lions, Niners, Cardinals. John went Niners, Cowboys, Cardinals.
I got Eagles, Bears, Rams. So two of the teams that you guys have, or one of you had for, one or both of you had for a couple of divisions, I have in there in terms of the Bears and the Rams.
And none of us have the Packers. What's going on there?
I like Jordan Love. I think he's a competitor. I just don't know about the rest of the team, to be honest with you. I don't know as an entire component. We watched that team last year here, right? They were here last season. I'm not a big believer in the entire team. I think that Jordan Love, he needs some bigger names now. They did bring in, obviously, a big-name running back. So that offense could be stabilized a little bit. It could help him out. But I'm not sold on the defense. And I don't know if it can get through the black and blue division, especially with Chicago expected to be at an uptick, and the Detroit Lions. It's a physical division that they have to get through, not to mention the schedule that it has, starting tonight in Brazil against Philadelphia.
Fourth down with the Packers and the Eagles. Packers with the ball. Okay. Yeah, they're in no man's land right now because they're in the range of the... It's funny, I looked up at the wrong game. About the 37-yard line, so they're going to go for it even on a fourth and eight. What were you going to say, Willie?
Finish up with the NFL. I got some updates, some scoring updates for you in a different league.
Okay, we'll get through the scoring updates. We're going to talk to Mark McMillan in less than 10 minutes. We are live here on a Friday, Football Fridays. We spend them at Golden Circle inside Treasure Island. We'll come back. We'll figure out what's going on here. Another stoppage of play. A little sloppy in the the FNIA. It doesn't make any sense. Football night in America. No, Friday football. FF. There you go. I think we got it. I misread it. I was like Friday night in America. Football night in America. We're going off the rails. We'll collect ourselves. We'll come back. We're live here at Treasure Island.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
Willie's here. It's Cofield. You know, every Friday we talk to Mark McMillan, our football insider who played with the Eagles. By the way, we just had an interception. Packers pick one off as they move inside the Eagles' 20-yard line. But every week we talk to Mark McMillan. I talked to him a little bit before the show. He's slamming today, and we talked about the Eagles and the Packers in the pregame. But we started off the conversation talking about some of the events around town, and he just had a big event at Ace Hardware in Henderson, right?
Oh, we just had some sliders. We had some smashed baked potatoes with my Grilla McMillan spices on it, and we dribbled the Sweet Heat barbecue sauce on it. So it was great, man. The Horizon Ridge location, we sold out of all my products in 1 hour. So that was good, man. The people came out. There was a ton of Chief fans that was showing up. So I was really surprised about that. And I'm sure they were using my spices and barbecue sauce last night. So shout out to Ace Hardware, man, for making this happen. And I just launched, got noticed that they're going to carry my spices and sauce in two more locations here in the Valley. So I'm up to three Ace Hardware stores.
Nice, nice. So a perfect place to use the spices and the sauce from Mark McMillan is actually tailgating at UNLV games. There's been plenty of room in the past to tailgate at Allegiant Stadium. But, you know, momentum is building here. So before we talk about the game that's coming up tomorrow, let's talk about what went down in Houston. First of all, that was one of the better defensive efforts I've ever seen working the sidelines for the Rebels.
I'm like speechless. It's like night and day. You know, I've been here for a couple of years. Obviously, you covered the team a lot more years than I have. But just going out there in training camp, we both felt like that vibe was just different. You know, we saw the beef that they have on both O-line and D-line. You bring in some really good transfers. You shore up some positions as far as the cornerback spot. You get a little bigger. The quarterback, we didn't know who was going to start till he ran out. But he did a really good job of managing the game. They ran the ball well. Special teams, you know, obviously he missed the first field goal. He got it blocked. I know coach was really pissed about that because he's a stickler about his special teams. But an overall effort, I've never seen a UNLV team fly around to the ball. Jackson, I can't say enough about this young man and all the national recognition he's getting at the linebacker position. It's well rewarded because this kid has worked hard all offseason over the last couple of years.
Well, and one of the real splashy plays of the game was a pick six by Jalen Catalon. And
yes,
I know you had sat in the media room with Catalon as we were doing a press conference about three weeks ago. And the first thing you said to me is like, man, that guy's mature and he plays that way on the field.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised. You know, like I said, we had that same kind of vibe after hearing this young man in the press conference and seeing how calm he was. And just hearing about his pass, if he just stays healthy, he's going to be a big key to this team. As you can see, when he's healthy, he's making plays out there, and which was an amazing pick six. You know, there was a lot of big-time plays out there. And me as a defensive back, I was in my living room jumping up and down, and everybody was like, man, what are you doing? I was like, man, I'm excited for these guys. I'm excited for this team. I'm excited for this program.
So Chiefs and Ravens last night, Just overall thoughts. I mean, great game, and of course, everyone's like, the NFL delivers again.
Yeah. obviously, you know, there's a lot of things that they have to work out on both sides of the ball, both teams. But for a first game, you know, you can't ask for a better matchup like that coming out of the gate. You got two of the best quarterbacks in the game with Mahomes and Jackson. You know, you got one of the better defensive players in the game with, you know, Jones, who showed up big time in the game. But, man, it was a great game. As far as the offense, there was a lot of scoring. Pacheco was one of my favorite players, man. That kid runs hard. He runs physical. And he's a seventh-round pick out of Rutgers. So, you know, he ran the ball really well. Lamar Jackson, it was just a different Lamar, it seemed like. He was out there chirping. He was out there pushing guys. He was out there running over DBs. You know, normally he'd just get out of bounds, but this game meant a lot to him and the Ravens organization. But Andy Reid, you know, they came away late in the game. But I tell you, man, this Raven team is going to be something to look forward to down the stretch.
Yeah, the one thing I think Lamar's got to get over the hump on is winning these close games against the best competition. Yes. And his missed pass. I mean, it was a really bad miss. Oh, Zay Flowers was open. You didn't have to mess with the likely play where his foot's on the line. Zay Flowers was right there, and he just threw way behind him. You got to nail that pass. The best quarterbacks in the league make that pass.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, he's been behind the eight ball a couple of times in big-time games, and that's what everybody's looking for. Can he get over the hump of winning the big close games when they really mattered? And like I said, missing that touchdown pass, they go up, and obviously their defense was playing pretty solid, and they were really getting after Patrick Mahomes toward the end of that fourth quarter. Who knows? We could be talking about the Ravens, you know, having home field advantage because that was a big loss to the Chiefs early.
Chef Mark McMillan is up on Cofield & Company here on a Football Friday. We're at Treasure Island in the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. So you mentioned earlier you were rooting for Jalen Catalon, fellow defensive back.
Yes.
I know you also root for the little guys. So 4'2", 140, 5'10", 100 and whatever he is, 82-pound. Xavier Worthy, that was a coming out party.
My goodness, you talk about speed. Obviously, you know, Patrick Mahomes, you can see his face just lit up, man. He is so excited to have someone that can go downfield. This guy turned a bubble screen into like a 40, 50-yard touchdown without getting touched, and it was like he was floating on air. I saw Chris Carter tweet out. He's like, man, that dude is fast. So when you can get the approval of some Hall of Fame players that was tuning in, man, you cannot teach speed, and that is something Mr. Worthy came out with. Two touchdowns in his debut. You can't get no better than that.
So Mark is hanging with the people of Vegas all the time, and you mentioned your appearance last week at Ace Hardware in Henderson. You got one coming up on the opposite side of town, north side of town, at Santa Fe.
Yes.
At the pizza pasta joint there, right?
Yeah, I'll be at Stallone's for a meet and greet with my guy Brett. Everybody knows him from the show Tanked. Really good guy. So they're going to be using my spices and barbecue sauce on their pizzas. On their wings. So, man, everybody's going to be full of that McMillan spice and sauce, man, over the weekend. So shout out to my guy, Brett, man. And some of the proceeds will go back to my program for the Lift program for kids that's been harassed and bullied. So I'm excited, man. I'm going to be giving away Grilling McMillan hats. Got some Eagle photos. And I'm giving away a old school Kelly Green 29 Mark McMillan jersey. So come on out, man, and have a good time. Enjoy some food. I know they got the cool little sports book there as well, and the game will be on. So come on out and just hang out and have some wings and some pizza.
Sunday, noon to two. Sunday, noon to two, Stallone's inside of Santa Fe. So get out there to hang out with Mark McMillan. All right, we got the game tonight, and, you know, the same sports book, the Santa Fe, will have the game tonight. That's Eagles and Packers in Brazil. I think one of the intriguing matchups in this game, Mark, is the Philly D-line, which is pretty damn awesome. Yes. And the Green Bay O-line, the Packers O-line isn't bad, but it's in flux. So this is, you know, when you're trying to get it together, this is not the D-line you want to be going against.
Yeah, we'll see how, you know, how it plays out. Like I said, you still got to play the game. You know, I know it looks good on paper, saying that the Eagles should dominate in the trenches, but we still got to play the game, and we'll see how it goes toward the later end of the season. We saw Jordan Love, who everybody was talking about, coming out of college. He really shined. And if Christian Watson can stay healthy, he's their big threat receiver, number nine, who actually had an opportunity to coach this young man when he was smaller. So I'm always pulling for my guys that I had an opportunity to coach with. So Christian Watson, I told people in the draft, so remember this kid's name. So if he can stay healthy, it's going to be exciting. And we'll see how the Eagles do without Kelsey. You know, I know a lot of people talk about the weapons that they have, but the center is the quarterback on the line of scrimmage that gets everybody lines up and notifies the blitz and the front. So I don't think people that really – I don't think people from the outside really know how big of a difference it is to lose an all-pro Hall of Fame center like that.
Well, and on the other side, it's exciting to see the debut of Josh Jacobs for the Packers. I'd like to see him. Didn't wilt, but it slowed down a little bit his last year with the Raiders. So I'd like to see him resurrect his career and go out there and, you know, have a 1,200 yard rushing season. And that's going to help the Packers a lot. And especially if he does it against the Eagles, if he has a big night.
Yeah. I'm looking forward for a big game. Obviously everybody know how I love my Bama guys, man. I'm a big fan of Josh Jacobs. Even when he was here, I was always breaking bread with him in the locker room, just kind of talking about just life, you know, just football all the time. But like I said, he's pissed off. And, like, he's going to run hard. He's going to be physical. He's played the game at a high level. What he adds to that offense is a running back that can catch the ball out of the backfield as well. So, you know, I know Jones was injured in and out of the lineup for the Packers, so he's no longer there. But Jordan Love is going to love having Josh Jacobs in the backfield, as any quarterback would, when you can have a guy that can rush the ball as well as pick up the blitz as well.
Chef Mark McMillan is with us. Last couple minutes, next phase of charity work downtown with your pizza for Nathan Adelson Hospice is up and running, right?
Yes. For the whole month of September, I got a barbecue chicken pizza topped with bacon, mozzarella cheese. I got some green peppers and a little parsley just for a little green color on top. The proceeds will go back to the Nathan Adelson Hospice Care Center and my LIFT program. So we're going to raise money to put a healing bench at the hospice center for families when they're going through something. This is a nice little place that they picked at the facility that they can go have some quiet time with their family. So we're going to have that bench shipped out once we get everything worked out with the funds. But, man, I'm excited. Evil Pie, get out there for the whole month of September. The Grillin' McMillan Barbecue Chicken Pizza.
Raiders, Chargers. This may be shocking for people to hear about this rivalry, but I think the game comes down to who runs the ball better. Who's going to do it? Who's going to do it in this game?
Well, we know Khaki Pants, man. He can run the ball, and, he's got a really good running back over there. The Raiders, you know, they have Zaire. There's still a little question marks, in my opinion, how well they can run the ball. So, man, if I had to go with my bet, I would say the Chargers will probably run the ball a little bit better. The Raiders struggle a little bit stopping the run, but adding Christian Wilkins should stop that up the middle a little bit better. So it's going to be a good ball game, but I see the Raiders just have too many weapons on offense to lose this game. And they cannot come out of the gate 0-1 and then go up to a pissed off Baltimore team and face those guys. So they got to get off on a good start.
Well, I can tell you, if Zamir White goes off, the crowd is going to roar. And I always find it really interesting that, in the past we saw it with Justin, or check that, with Phillip Rivers, having to use a silent count at home.
Yeah.
And Justin Herbert's probably going to have to do the same thing, because you're probably going to have 65-70% Raider fans at SoFi.
I know half my family is going to be there cheering for the Raiders, you know. So it is going to be a home game for the Raiders, which is great. The Raider Nation needs to get behind this team. Like I said, they're going to need it. It's going to be a long season. And as we saw last night, you have to beat the Chiefs and line up and smack them in the mouth. And if you don't have DBs that can cover those guys like Worthy, it's going to be a long night.
Mark McMillan, you can join him at Santa Fe at Stallone's on Sunday, noon to 2, leading into the Raiders Chargers and actually part of the game. So get on out there. Mark, we appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you.
I appreciate you having me on.
There he is, the former Eagle, Saint, Redskin, Niner, and Chief defensive back, Mark McMillan. Updates on games right now. BYU just punches it in right before the half. SMU leading BYU. That one is 9-7. Packers are set up on the doorstep. They got a field goal a couple minutes ago, but then looky here. Center exchange, not your traditional under center exchange, but the bad snap or ill-timed snap by the new center. Kelsey's gone. He retired. Cam Jurgens drills it into the chest of Jalen Hurts. One problem, Hurts wasn't looking, so now the Packers have the ball at the 9-yard line in Eagles territory.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Put your hand in there, Dave.
Back here tracking Friday night in American football. I got it right now. Errant pass. by Jordan Love on the doorstep. Ball's on about the 7-yard line. 3-0. Packers, Eagles. Green Bay leads it. Eagles just made a mistake with an errant snap. So now we got a 3rd and goal. Treasure Island, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar here on a Friday. WNBA score updates. What do we got?
Well, Indiana had the lead at halftime over Minnesota. 2:54 left in the third quarter. The Lynx now lead 65-60. And in Connecticut, the Sun lead the Aces 43-40 with 4.5 left. There is a third game going. Dallas on the road leading the Atlanta Dream by 12, 66-54. But two games with interest for the fans here in Vegas. Minnesota up on Indiana. Vegas down to Connecticut.
Fire up the NFL music. Let's do some leans and likes for the entire NFL slate on Sunday. There we go. Dolphins 3.5. Hosting Jaguars.
I'm laying it.
You're laying it?
Sure.
I'm going to lay it. I'm high on the Jaguars, but I'm going to lay it here. I think the Dolphins can win, and obviously home cooking for them. Not that both teams aren't used to warm weather, but home cooking works for the Dolphins. I'm going to take Steelers plus 3.5 against the Falcons.
I am too, despite the reports of Russell Wilson. I think either quarterback that gets under center for that team has something to prove, and I'm not necessarily worried if it ends up being Justin Fields. So I like the Steelers on the road in Atlanta.
I already took the Giants plus 1.5 against the Vikings. Giants are at home.
I'm with our guy Kenny White. I think that it's going to be a sluggish game, and I think it's going to be a lack of offense there. I'm playing that one under.
Yeah, Kenny came on about an hour ago, heavily recommended several unders, talking about, hey, beginning of the season, teams don't play, or players don't play in the preseason like they used to. They're not as sharp. Offenses aren't as good. Saints laying 4 at home against the dreadful Panthers. We had a play on this from Wes Reynolds on the Panthers side in the middle of the week. Willie, what are you going to do?
I'm going to lay the points. I think that they can win this by a touchdown at home. 4 points, I think, is achievable. I'll take New Orleans.
I agree. I am going to, and I'm almost guaranteeing, by the way, I'm going to say this, a loss in week one on this one. I'm going to lay points until it gets completely out of control, like, you know, 15, 16, 17 in these Patriots games. So I'll take the Bengals minus 7.5. I don't care who's playing receiver. Bengals over the Patriots.
I like the Bengals over the Patriots as well. I think they win it by double digits. Bengals get, Joe Burrow back. He played just 10 games last season. So I think that they have to do a better job of protecting him, and I think they do to start the season out, and there's a statement made there.
Rapid fire over the last 2 minutes here. I'm going to take the Titans plus 3.5 against the Bears.
Okay, that may have to be a personal bet between you and I for a meal. That's going to be my statement game. Chicago comes out firing, saying we're just as good as the rest in the NFC North.
I'll take the Cardinals plus 6.5 at the Bills.
I'm going to take Buffalo, Arizona traveling cross-country. I said it earlier, Josh Allen was something to prove. The entire team was something to prove. Buffalo.
Chargers minus 3 over the Raiders.
I am going to take the Raiders on the money line. Outright winner.
Colts plus 2.5. My pick against the Texans.
Nah. Texans win by at least 6.
I'll lay the 6. Seahawks against the Broncos.
I'll play that one over the posted total.
Your Cowboys getting 2.5 against the Browns. I'll lay it.
Yeah, you are. I'm taking the Cowboys.
Lions 4 against the Rams. I'll take the Rams.
Lions will roll up the Rams tightly and smoke them.
Next 3 days. Tomorrow. Throw the flag right here. At Treasure Island, 9:11 a.m. Right after that, UNLV football on ESPN Las Vegas, 11 a.m. with the pregame. Sunday, JBT's Sunday football preview show is at the Westgate. That starts at 8 o'clock. He'll be there until 10, 1 hour of injury notes. And last-minute line updates. John Murray is on that show. And then Monday, we're back at a new spot for Monday Night Football. We'll be at Ellis Island in the front yard. $30, all you can drink beer. $45, all you can eat food, tons of prizes. They'll bring out the prize wheel. We'll be there from 3 to 8 live with Cofield and Company from 3 to 6 before Jets and Niners and during the game giving away prizes. William?
By the way, that 35 that I saw that I mentioned earlier is right there where JBT will be at. So that's the place. I got a text message. UNLV laying 35 to Utah Tech.
What are you going
to
do?
I'd lay it in a heartbeat.
All right, James. Thank you. Griffin back in the studio. Thank you very much. Thanks to Treasure Island, Mr. Ruffin, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. That includes Patrick Berbert for hosting the show. Thanks, guys. We'll see you.